The 1-900 Wrestling Podcast is brought to you as always by Patreon.com/1900Wrestling. Again, Patreon.com/1900Wrestling. That's where you can become a part of our patron-only Discord. It was the best place to be this weekend, and boy, was it humming all night long, Daddy. We had all the indie stuff talked about, all the NXT, all the ROH, all the WrestleMania you could handle, with the attendant rumors, gifts, and live streams from all over the place. Oh, I'm just thinking about it, and I got goosebumps. I've got duck skin. Let's go ahead and get into this one. But remember, patreon.com/1900Wrestling. But enough of talking about how we support the show. What do you say we just do the damn thing?
I want you to call me for all of wrestling's latest news and views. I've been involved in wrestling for 35 years, and nobody knows wrestling like me. Remember the number,
1-900 Wrestling.
Ladies and gents, welcome to the 1-900 Wrestling Podcast. My name is Justin Robert Young. Joining me, hopefully, will be Willie Dills Gregory. I know he had some company over for the weekend, so I don't know whether or not he's caught up with that. I don't know whether or not he survived the ordeal that was WrestleMania weekend. Let me tell you something here, folks. I'm going to tell you something. Willie and I went to WrestleMania last year, and boy, howdy, was it a blast. But I will say this. If I had gone to New Orleans this weekend, and boy, was I desperate to do so, I might have died. I might have died. Because just the amount of wrestling that I watched from the Command Center here in Oakland, California. Oh, my Lord. My Lord. I mean, I can't even process how much wrestling that I watched. Thankfully, I have my buddy Gabe here. But all we were doing is cracking open a couple novels, adding to our Goodreads, just trying to survive. Trying to survive. Did Hood Slam on Friday. Entertainia 8. Oh my God. What an event. I just have to say to anybody, twitch.tv/Hood Slam. They put on a fuck of a show. Just a great time. Amazing swerve ending. And do yourself a favor. Head to twitch.tv/Hood Slam. Check that out. I can't spend a lot of time on it because we got so much to talk about. Didn't get a chance to see Joey Janela's Spring Break. Didn't get a chance to see some of the other stuff. There was shows on Thursday that were indie super shows. You got Matt Riddle versus Minoru Suzuki on a motherfucking Thursday. And out here on the West Coast, that shit was at like 3:30 in the afternoon. When Minoru Suzuki versus Matt Riddle in a submission match, a pinfall or submission match, with no ropes on the ring, when that shit's happening on a Thursday in the afternoon, oh my God. Jerry the King Lawler versus Joey Ryan at WrestleCon? Didn't see that. Oh my good God. My good God damn. But here's what I did see. I had ROH. I had NXT. At the same damn time. I got the Elite, got the Undisputed Era at the same damn time. I got Almas, I got Castle at the same damn time. Oh, that was fantastic. Both shows were excellent. Both shows were great. We're going to talk a little bit about NXT. But before we do, let me talk a little bit about ROH. The big main event, some might say, one of the biggest main events of the weekend was Kenny versus Cody. at the ROH Supercard of Honor. A match that, I gotta say, this is maybe just an appetizer. Maybe just an appetizer for what the real main event is, which is probably gonna go up on YouTube within the next several hours, episode 100 of Being the Elite. So much there. Cody bringing out Bernard the Business Bear. Kenny accidentally hitting Brandi Rhodes, knocking her through a table. Flip Gordon is Captain Save-A-Ho, and then the Young Bucks making their decision: who will lead the Bullet Club? Seems like they've lined up to super kick Cody Rhodes right in the face. Slamming shut this fractious chapter of the Bullet Club's history. When what happens? Oh, that flaxen-haired villain Cody ducks the kick. A double strike to the face of the cleaner Kenny Omega, one half of the Golden Lovers, and boom, it is as simple as 1, 2, 3. Cody wins the match. I think that there's one thing that you can absolutely say, and that is Bullet Club is indeed not fine. And there is a tremendous amount of turmoil that is still going to roil on until not only the big New Japan show out here in San Francisco, but also All In at the end of this summer. Hoo daddy! It is going to be a long, hot summer for the Bullet Club. Big shout out also, speaking of Bullet Club, to Marty Scurll and Dalton Castle. I thought they put on a hell of a show. I think the problem is that ROH program was just too goddamn long. I was they're doing my best trying to fight and scratch and claw to make sure that my stream worked all night. I got inducted into the Honor Club for the low, low price of $9.99. You know, just trying to make sure that I could keep it up there, and certainly I did. I thought that was a really, really good match. It just, you know, it's hard to follow what a lot of people think is going to be the main event of the night. But even then, that's obscure, because if I am to take R Squared Circle, if I am to take Wrestling Twitter, and if I am to take the Lord our God, Dave Meltzer, hallowed be his 5 to 6 stars, the only two events that really happened this weekend were NXT and WrestleMania. So let's begin chronologically, shall we? The first match of NXT TakeOver in New Orleans was the debut of the North American Championship. Lars Sullivan, Killian Dane, Ricochet, EC3, The Velveteen Dream, and Adam Cole, baby! Now let's roll back a little bit. Two things are true. One in terms of storyline, and the other in terms of the unfortunate reality of the brutal business that is known as professional wrestling. The first is that although the Undisputed Era has been certainly a faction that has made its presence known in NXT, it has interfered in matches, it has had high-profile matches, and they did win the tag team champions. Their highest-profile member, Adam Cole, baby, has noticeably come up a little bit short. He hasn't won a lot of these big, high-profile takeover matches. And the second Bard, Bobby Fish is somebody that was injured earlier in the month. So how do you reestablish Adam Cole as the number one guy and make the Undisputed Era as big as they possibly can be? Well, tell you what. They answered that question on Saturday. Adam Cole in a motherfucking humdinger of a six-man ladder match takes out all the competition, snatches down the brand new North American title from the top of the ladder. Big, gigantic, amazing shout-outs to all of those performers. Velveteen Dream, yet another opportunity. I can't imagine that Velveteen Dream will go another year without getting some kind of hardware, if not being moved right up to the main roster, because he is money, money, money. Killian Dane, Lars Sullivan, EC3, just fitting right in, snug as a rug. How about this one? Ricochet. Jesus, Herbert Christ. What an amazing performance by him. He's got, you know, just superstar written all over him. He is so polished. When you look at him, you see your goddamn reflection. But then they have, after I think it was the women's match, they've got the tag team titles where a ailing Adam Cole is forced to defend the Undisputed Era's half of the tag team championships because Bobby Fish is injured. Looks like the thrown together tag team of Roderick Strong. And oh my God, I got this far without blanking on a name. And now I'm going to blank on a name. Who is the guy? Who's the bruiserweight? I can't remember the bruiserweight's name. Pete Dunne. Pete Dunne and Roderick Strong look like it is over, Brother Nero. Pete Dunne hits the bitter end on Kyle O'Reilly, only for his partner to turn on him and join the Undisputed Era, the first man in NXT history to effectively lose a tag title match and gain the tag titles. Just great. It just puts everybody in such a great position, not to mention the fact that if Bobby Fish is injured and Roderick Strong is essentially sliding into his place, that means, since they just pissed off Pete Dunne, that Pete Dunne can go to his bag of tricks and bring back two of his mates from the UK, Tyler Bate and Trent Seven of British Strong Style, and we could get an Undisputed Era versus British Strong Style match at some point on NXT television. Holy shit. That's so hot I can't touch you with my bare hands, or else I'd burn my fucking fingerprints off. What else do we have? That women's match is fantastic. Big shout out to Shayna Blazer. I think Ember Moon's moving up to the top. We had what I'll tell you what. Aleister Black, man. Aleister Black has got to be so fucking sick of this shit. So fucking sick of this shit. All he does is go out on NXT, light up the crowd, make everybody jump up and down, scream this is the best match of the card. I can't imagine somebody trying to follow that. And then all of a sudden, what happens? Johnny Goddamn Gargano. That's who happens. Because as Andrade Cien almost drops the NXT title to Aleister Black in what I thought was a fantastic match, great storytelling, the Zelina Vega thing kind of built up throughout the match and then eventually paid off in disastrous fashion for El Idolo. When it's all said and done, what I think is going to be Johnny Gargano's second five-star match comes on right afterward. I can't fathom a hotter crowd than the one that was there for Tommaso Ciampa and Johnny Gargano. Ciampa comes out to no music and is serenaded with such vulgarity, such vitriol, such hatred. You couldn't pay people to scream that loud. Honestly, you couldn't. Johnny Gargano comes out, fights for his job, and wins it. But for me to describe any more of that match would just do it an injustice. It's a work of art. It deserves to be hung up in a museum and people be made to watch each and every second of it so you can understand the emotion, the physicality, and the connection that professional wrestling has on those around it. It is one of the best matches I have ever seen. It, to me, is a scaled-up version of some of the reason why I loved NXT as a brand when it reformed and came on the network. But what else are you going to say other than just watch that match if you ain't already? If you know, then you know. But if you don't, well, I mean, come on. What the fuck are you doing? Get on the train. You want to know what? I'm just realizing now. What am I doing hogging all the fun here? I'm going to go ahead and throw up the phone number. If you guys want to call in, unfortunately, the number is not 1-900-WRESTLING to call in. It should be. But you can call in to 810-404-8030. Again, 810-404-8030. Because we are going to move in to the 7-hour Leviathan known as WrestleMania. And holy shit, did it feel like every inch of 7 hours. It was gigantic. 3 matches on the pre-show. If you want to call in, it is 510-404-8030. Again, 510-404-8030. Go ahead and give me an old ring-a-ding-ding, and we will bring you in and talk about whatever you guys want to talk about when it comes to WrestleMania. Oh, I'll tell you what, we already got a call. Welcome to 1-900-WRESTLING. What do you have to say about WrestleMania?
I love WrestleMania, and you are George Clooney. That's all I have to say about WrestleMania.
Hold on, wait a minute. Did you see WrestleMania?
Oh, yeah. WrestleMania is freaking awesome.
What was your favorite match?
When Dwayne The Rock Johnson said, "Shut your mouth, you jabroni."
All right, wait, hold on. Wait a minute. But what do you think about what Stone Cold said to him after that?
Oh, well, when Stone Cold replied, I mean, I was just blown away. I was baffled even. I mean, come on. I think I ripped my shirt off before that matchup.
Really?
Absolutely.
What kind of shirt were you wearing?
Friggin' DTRJ original special shirt.
Who?
DTRJ.
Who?
DTRJ.
Who?
DTRJ.
Who?
DTRJ.
Oh man. I actually didn't know. I didn't know where to go. DTRJ. Oh, I guess it's TTRJ. Woo, woo, woo. Thank you so much, sir, for the compliment. I do greatly treasure the fact that I do look like George Clooney. I would say that, I mean, the 3 biggest, the 3 matches that were on the pre-show, you had the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, you had the Cruiserweight Championship, and then you had the as-yet-unnamed and unsponsored Women's Battle Royal. all three really delivered for me. I thought that was a great opportunity to showcase not only everybody there on the main roster for the men's side, but also the women's battle royal seemed very much kind of a showcase for a lot of the NXT women. There wasn't a lot of wasn't any, at least to my knowledge, old timers, right? Everybody was kind of filled out by the NXT squad. The NXT squad united, which I thought was a great opportunity to showcase a lot of those women who didn't get on NXT TakeOver, by the way. Half the NXT fucking women's roster got more shine on WrestleMania than they did on their own pay-per-view. Just a great time. Theo300 said, Justin, I would love to give you a review of my experience at Fantasy Slam with Sin Bodhi in Las Vegas. Well, let's see who this is. Hello, who's this?
Hey, what's up?
Who's this?
My name's Hugh.
What's up, man? What'd you think about WrestleMania last night?
I didn't watch last night. Are you talking about Brock Lesnar?
I'm talking about WrestleMania last night.
I thought it was very controversial.
What part was controversial, sir?
The way that Brock Lesnar really just took it to Vince like that, man. That was a shot below the belt.
Okay. All right, man. Well, thank you. I agree. Very, very controversial. I'll tell you what, man. We might have to shut off the phones. Might have to shut off the phones. Normally, we're pretty good about the phone calls. Theo300, go ahead and call in. Tell me about Fantasy Slam. Otherwise, I can just carry this by myself. I thought everybody was super hot. I thought we'd have people calling in, but it looks like we just got the J-Brones. The J-Brones are marching in. I know. This is why we can't have nice things. I guess, I don't know. Who knows? Sometimes, I don't mind people calling in and horsing off. We have a good time, but this is kind of a topic-specific show. Here's a man I know that can carry a conversation. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, the Buck R.I., one of our favorite people here on 1-900 Wrestling and our whole little community here. What did you think of WrestleMania, Buck?
I loved it. I mean, I was in the Discord last night. I had to tap out right before the Alexa Nia match. I was just done. So I just actually finished watching the Roman and Brock match as you were going earlier. So that's extra fresh if you want to go that, or you know, really anywhere you want to go on the card. We'll get this. See, this is what happens when you know I don't curtain jerk the phone calls. You get these. Jabroni Marks coming in.
All right. Move forward. We spent enough time on them already.
All right.
What was the match of the night for you? Match of the night.
Boy, it's hard not. I can't believe I'm going to say this, you know, considering what we thought earlier, but it might be the Rousey match. I mean, it's either that or the opener with Miz Balor and Rollins was outstanding.
I think. That pay-per-view didn't have a bad moment up until I think the SmackDown three-way tag belt was the first time that it kind of let a little air out of the tire.
It felt like that was cut way short for time. And what followed Balor and Rollins? I feel like I'm forgetting a match that really
was it Charlotte Asuka? I think it was.
Yeah, that might have been it. That was outstanding.
That was an insane match. That was great.
That one was probably the actual match of the night. But it started out, you know, even Meltzer said it started out real hot, and then all of a sudden, like, you know,
let's take the mantra of this channel and follow the heat before we focus on where things might have gone wrong.
Right.
What an amazing performance by Asuka and Charlotte. And if rumors are to be believed, this is one of the grand traditions of being a smart wrestling fan these days is number one, all rumors begin when people get together, right? And there is no place where people get together more than at WrestleMania. And right. So the rumor now is that and this happens every year, is the rumors come out about who Vince sees main eventing the next WrestleMania.
And then, right, yeah, because you had that. I mean, we certainly had that last year.
Yeah, and we've seen it year after year after year. And for the last couple of years, it's been about Roman. The rumors now. Plug your ears. If you don't want to hear it. Is that the main event of WrestleMania 35 in New York, New Jersey, in the Meadowlands, Giant Stadium, Ronda Rousey versus Charlotte Flair.
Right, which a lot of people had pegged for this year. But Ronda clearly, Ronda definitely wasn't ready for that yet. Give her a year. Yeah, I can absolutely see that happening. You know, Charlotte has, openly been trying to get, to main event WrestleMania. She could certainly carry it. Rousey's the biggest star that they've got. She had a great showing last night.
Yeah.
And the Charlotte-Asuka match was good. Charlotte was really overdue for another good match. It really felt like she was not mailing it in, but she was coasting a little bit for a while. So for her and then Asuka, who is, maybe their best wrestler, male or female on the roster, it doesn't surprise me that they went out and had, what would have been the best match of the night, because it was. They're both due for a really good performance, and they delivered. And I think that definitely frees Asuka up now to do a lot of other things
number one. If you are main eventing WrestleMania, that means that your division is strong. They're not just going to put together two people that are just okay, right? This has to be gigantic star power, and you have gigantic star power in Charlotte Flair, considering how far she has come as a performer, matched up with probably the biggest, most famous female athlete in the world right now.
Yeah, it makes total sense to me, looking at it a year out and go, yeah, no, that absolutely makes sense to make that the main event. Because Charlotte is going to be the absolute superstar, and Ronda Rousey is Ronda Rousey, despite what people think of her. So you put the two of them together, it's going to put asses in seats, pal.
But let's go ahead and look back to last night. The match was derided. Triple H and Stephanie. McMahon. Why is it McMahon gotta put themselves in? This is a thing that they've been wanting to do. It's kind of a vanity project for Triple H and Stephanie. The real match should have been Asuka and Rousey, and that would have been a better opportunity for everybody. Could have showcased Angle's too old. He looks doddering. That one actually kind of turned out to be true.
That one, yeah.
But still, all that being said, the Lord our God, Dave Meltzer, says on his Observer radio show afterward, that was a perfect match. There's a chance that this match could get anywhere between 4.5 and 5 stars from the Lord our God, Dave Meltzer. Can you fucking believe
that? That seems a little high. I'd give it 4.25. I thought it was a little long, maybe. It could have went about...
Oh, no. I was loving it.
I loved it. Don't get me wrong. I thought it was a great match. Like I said, off the top of my head, I thought that might have been match of the night.
I think it is.
I don't think
it's really close. I mean, you could probably say that Charlotte and Asuka was a more competent match, but holy shit, that was everything that you would want it in terms of telling a story.
It was an absolute ton of fun. Great. Everybody look, like you said, Voight, Angle.
Listen, everybody's getting on my case saying it's 4, it's not 5. Hey, take it up with the Lord our God, Dave Meltzer. Hallowed be his Observer.
I'll borrow another podcast's phrase, subjective art form.
For everybody but him. He makes the rules around here. So, let's move past that to some of the elements that were not as universally beloved. I think the first moment where the momentum kind of comes down a little bit is that SmackDown tag match. But really, the two matches that I think people wound up being underwhelmed on was the two championships, and one was for the Smarks. It was for the New Japan fans. AJ versus Nakamura, at times really good, but maybe a little long. Didn't quite have the action. Certainly didn't have the viciousness until the match is over, and we get the element of the match that we kind of wanted to be a part of the match itself, right? With Shinsuke just kicking AJ in the head.
Right. It seemed like they tried to do a New Japan style match with slow pacing to a build, but in order to do that, you need more time. And like I said, I just watched it, you know, recently. I thought it was okay, but yeah, it needed something else. I don't really know what, but like you said, it had to wait till the match was over, and then all of a sudden you got the, you know, it got the excitement out, you know, with the spoiler alert, people, with the Shinsuke heel turn, you know. I actually like that idea because I think Shinsuke as a heel is going to do a lot better off. It always seems like he's holding something back, but maybe this is the only gear he can get to now. What's Shinsuke now, in 38?
Well, I mean, to me, I don't think it was necessarily anything athletically that he couldn't do. It was more, again, he was doing the stuff I wanted him to do during the match, after the match. He was just kicking AJ in the head. Like,
right. Yeah,
there's that element of brutality that, you know, just needs to elevate it to where they've been before. There is that element of like, oh my God, why are you guys doing that to each other? And it's not necessarily an athletic thing. It's just a brutal thing.
Yeah, I think that's really going to help Shinsuke out, because that's definitely been missing for a while. You know, he does his entrance, he comes out, does a couple things, and it goes back, you know, then it's over. And
but I think there's
been a connection missing from his NXT, and then of course from his Japanese days. He was, you know, he was the king of strong style. He used to go out and kick people in the head. And,
well, I mean, he was.
You know, now it could be more brutal. Maybe we can get a little bit more of that.
The thing is, I think that there was not necessarily a lack of some of the, you know, the kicking in the head. It was just more of the, you know, in a lot of ways, they kind of told a fairly New Japan style match in terms of protecting the finishers. Except at Wrestle Kingdom, kind of everybody winds up hitting their finisher four times. Which is another thing. Is like when we get to the criticism of the main event, everybody was like, oh, well, six F5s, one through a table. It's like, well, I mean, come on, man. Go ahead and watch a Wrestle Kingdom show. You're going to see like eight Rainmakers, you know? Like,
yeah, good point.
There is a lot of finisher spam that happens at the top level of wrestling in many different places. ROH too spams finishers, especially specifically in big matches. But I don't know. I wound up liking the AJ Nakamura match a lot as a whole, but it kind of involved that, like, oh no, I just want, why don't you have brutal Shinsuke fight that match? Hopefully they set it back up and we run it back and it'll be a great time. So I don't know. I'm not going to harp on it too much.
That'll get run back. That's not the last time we're going to see that thing. So.
Here's what I have to. I'm going to go ahead and go off, man. I'm going to light into this, because I came out here on this show on 1-900 Wrestling and I erred. I led you all astray. I led the listeners, I led the viewers down a primrose path that I could not complete. Because what I told y'all was that finally, WWE knows how to handle Roman Reigns. They know how to get people over with Roman Reigns. They know when to put Roman Reigns on. They knew last year at Mania that if they're going to have Roman Reigns win, they got to get him off the fucking stage as fast as possible and make it all about The Undertaker laying his close in the middle of the ring. And I thought they had it. I thought they had the story that we wanted to see in the ring last night. Roman Reigns, the leader of the locker room. Brock Lesnar, the asshole who's going to leave once as he did once before. And then all of a sudden, they decided to make
in?
It... Well, here,
bell rang.
Well, I mean, yeah, but like, it wasn't a disappointment. It was just they told a whole different story. they decided to tell the Cena Brock at SummerSlam story, where it's just Brock beating the living shit out of him, which to me puts Roman in the place where the crowd hates him the most, the man overcoming the impossible odds, with the surprise ending being he's not. So it's like, all right, they're booing the match because they keep expecting Roman to Superman punch his way out of it. And then he doesn't. So we're happy, I guess. But we're going to cheer the guy that has already broke our hearts once, and the story is that he's going to break our heart again? What the fuck?
Yeah, I think the only thing that I guess I like about the way it was booked is that everybody had Roman winning. So I guess I like the swerve, but you're right. Boy, this thing was booked really weird. You're booking it to have the final conquering hero, and then, wait, what? We're doing this?
And
okay, I guess.
I was just ready to be done with it, and I guess we are done with it. If next year's WrestleMania main event doesn't have Roman Reigns in it, you know, if it's going to be at least like in the overall planning, then we're done with the Roman Reigns main event cycle, which I think will be good. Because that's all I really wanted. I wanted my call to all of you smarks worldwide was to lie back and think of England. Let WWE fuck you with Roman Reigns once so we can be done with it forever. At least like we can be done with the building up to Brock thing. But now, I guess Brock's re-signed. So he's still going to be in the picture. They're going to face each other at the greatest Royal Rumble in Jeddah. But, oh, boy, howdy, man. I was ready to be done with it. I was there for the big dog.
Yeah, I'm with you. I was ready for Roman to win. I was at the same boat. I was like, all right, the final stage of grief is acceptance. And I had got to that point. I was like, all right, let's just get this over with, get the belt on the big dog, and then, you know, then we can move forward. We can, you know, do the superstar shakeup, move some people around. Hey, maybe we get a match that we like, you know? Maybe we finally get, I think Samoa Joe's back tonight.
Sure, but, yeah. You know,
we get Samoa Joe back and let them have a run.
Samoa Joe versus Roman. AJ Styles versus Roman.
That'll be a great setup.
Yeah, look, I think that there's a million different ways that you can do this. Roman's got skills. He's got mad skills. Put him in good matches with good people and good things will happen.
They're not gonna pull a trigger on it yet, but eventually you're going to get Roman and Daniel Bryan.
Sure.
That's going to be incredible.
It was great before. It'll be great again. All right. Let's run down a few other things real quick. Number one, your Raw Tag Team Champions are Braun Strowman and a 10-year-old boy from the crowd named Nicholas. So did you have that in your party pool, Buck?
Yeah, that the Buck Hike prediction machine did not have that one.
Didn't have a 10-year-old boy named Nicholas.
I don't know. you did see some of the backstory on who the kid is, right?
Yeah, it's a referee's son.
Yeah, it's a weird pick, but you know what? It worked. It was a good, I mean, Braun's full face. They needed a bit of a comedy spot, you know, after the first championship match. They needed a little bit of a break.
Oh, man.
So it was
no,
good plan.
I thought it was fun.
I
thought it was great. I thought it was, I mean, Braun is kind of by himself, a very 80s sort of character, and that's a very 80s moment, right? To make it all about.
Yeah, I mean, you could certainly see, you can see Hulk Hogan doing that kind of thing, brother. So
yeah, right? It's fun, a fun thing for all the kids watching, like, although I don't know exactly, considering some of the spots that Braun has been involved in, that you necessarily want him to be your kid's favorite wrestler. But I guess if they're going to go in the direction of him being more of a big white meat baby face, then that's a big white meat baby face thing to do. And you got to say, that spot of Nicholas getting tagged in was amazing. That was great.
Oh, it was fantastic. I mean, I thought it was a lot of fun. I thought it was fantastic. And you know, they'll get the belt off of the kid pretty quick. They'll figure something out to move on from that thing. But
Hey, by the way, breaking for a quick laugh. Breaking news here, coming in from the All In Twitter account.
I'm seeing the snow.
The IWGP champion Okada is all in.
You guys are gonna go to that, right?
No, it's Dragon Con weekend. I can't.
Oh shit, that sucks. Well. See, that's what happens when you say schedule your anniversary around an event. Sometimes other events happen.
Well, you know, what are you gonna do? Hopefully, it'll be available to stream because I think it's gonna be a great time.
They'll figure some way out to pay for that thing.
So here we go. What did you think about the Cena Undertaker?
I thought it was great. It was good to see. I mean, you know, as sad as I was last year with Undertaker just looking like a shell of himself, he looked great. I thought it was exactly what you needed it to be. Get in, you know, take 15 minutes to get there. But once you're finally in the ring and the bell rings, get in there, kick Cena's ass, get out. Perfect. It was exactly what you wanted out of him.
I mean, this was obviously a very story-centric angle. And I thought it was really, really well told. The Elias fake-out was amazing.
Oh, I loved that. I would have been happy if Undertaker didn't show up. I'm a huge Elias mark.
Yeah.
So I thought that was brilliant. Just very well done. So.
Totally agree there.
Great to have him around. You know.
Hey, all right. So let me go back.
You see this year, fine.
But let me go back to Braun real quick, because I don't imagine that 10-year-old Nicholas is going to remain the tag team champion for longer than tonight. I think he's going to come out and get a gigantic pop, and they're going to find a way to either get the belt off both of them or have, whoever is now the authority figure on Raw tell them that you can't have a 10-year-old as your tag team partner. Who do you think ultimately gets that tag title?
Well, either they give it back to the Bar or, I mean, Braun and a returning guy or a re-debut, you know, does Joe come back and team up with Braun? We've heard a lot of rumor and innuendo about a certain animal who's got a big movie coming out in a few weeks. Talking about him coming back. So does Big Dave come back?
I mean, Big Dave.
And team up with him.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. But also, what are you building to? Backlash, I guess?
Yeah, that's the question, is where do you go with it from that point?
And JVZ really in the chat suggests that it's a new kid every week.
Yeah, just that'll work. You know, why not? So, Glitch has a good question. What do we do right that caused us not to have a Kid Rock concert?
Let me point this out that I've not heard a lot of people talk about. This WrestleMania, 7 hours though it was, didn't have any celebrity that isn't now a full-time performer, didn't have a lot of part-timers. In fact, did it have any part-timers aside from Nicholas?
If you count Lesnar.
No, but he's a part of the roster. Like he.
Oh, right.
You know, it's not like he just showed up for one night. Undertaker would be probably the most part-time guy. You know, so this was very much, I mean, it shows you the strength of that roster. And granted, and Cena Undertaker, people are saying Cena Undertaker. Cena Undertaker is, that was a little confined thing that didn't last all that long and was among the highlights of the night. So what I'm talking more about is guys that are just coming back for WrestleMania season. Like, just there for, you know, a couple weeks. Or some celebrity that's doing a celebrity match. There wasn't a lot of shit here that wasn't about the roster. The roster really, really, really put on a fantastic show. And it shows you how insanely talented this roster is right now. I think we are going to look back on this time and say, man, what a fucking locker room. Because there is just limitless potential there.
And you're going to get call-ups over the next 2 days.
Yeah.
You know, Almas is probably coming up.
Yeah, who do you think? Who do you think? This is, of course, the Raw and SmackDown after Mania, when normally there are a lot of call-ups. Who do you think is coming up?
Well, you're going to get Almas coming up because he dropped, you know, that would be the easy one. He dropped the belt. Authors of Pain already. They should be coming up.
Yeah.
Iconic duo. If you want to bring up some of the women, you should bring up Iconic duo should definitely come up. I don't know what the hell's taking them so long. And maybe Ember Moon. I don't know if they're going to want to continue that story for another few months or not. You know, she's ready to come up.
Yeah, I think right now the story to tell in the women's division for NXT is Shayna just bullying a fairly young roster.
Yeah, I think that's the way you do it. And then eventually you find her challenger through the next Mae Young Classic, and then you move on from there.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, with Shayna, too, there's always the Rousey backstory that, you know, maybe they do something with Shayna and Rousey around, like, Survivor Series.
Well, you Summer know, the one thing that you know, is still out there is Four Horsewomen versus Four Horsewomen. Yep. So you got to figure that's a Survivor Series main event for sure.
Why was Billie Kay? Yeah, I don't know. Is Billie Kay hurt? I don't know why Billie Kay wasn't in the Battle Royal.
Yeah, it got me.
She injured?
I don't know because I think she was. I think she might have been wrestling for the Access stuff. Which, by the way, Access unstreamed, but was having some of the most fun matches of the weekend for WrestleMania weekend with the Progress and Evolve guys. They were doing tournament matches.
They're not going to put any of that stuff up on the later NXT shows?
Who knows?
They've done that in the past.
I mean, they might as well, right? Well, I know they shot an episode of NXT before TakeOver, which they normally do, including the debut of War Raiders, the new
is that what they're calling
War Machine?
Them?
Yeah.
Okay. God, keep War Machine. What the hell? Stupid. Anyway.
You know, I don't know whether or not that's a trademark thing.
Yeah, it probably is.
Because it's probably going to be harder for them to sell T-shirts and stuff like that. You know, with the Disney thing behind them. Also, yeah, there is the MMA fighter who brutally beat up his girlfriend.
That's got to be exactly. Yeah, you got that. That can be a problem.
Although, so, to be honest, I think that if it were just that, I mean, that's something that's well known for sports fans and MMA fans. I don't know how well known that is outside of it, and I think WWE could probably dwarf their that reach on like Google. I think them not being able to sell T-shirts with War Machine on it, you know, is probably a bigger thing.
War Machine, I think of Marvel. So
yeah, me too. And that's, you know, look, he's about to be in a gigantic movie with Dave Bautista.
Exactly. Yeah, with Dave Bautista, and he just brought it right back around to wrestling.
There we go. All right, hey Buck, thank you so much for calling in.
Yeah, I know I pretty much sat in on the rest of the show, but
thanks
for having me, Jerry. I'll take it easy.
No problem. There we go. That's the Buck. You want to know what, guys? I am going to call an end to this. We got to go watch some wrestling. We got to see Raw after Mania. We got to see SmackDown after Mania. We will be back next week with Willie Dills in tow, I swear to God. And we are going to have a great time. But until then, my name is Justin Robert Young. You can follow me at Justin R. Young on Twitter, Snapchat, Instagram, everywhere. Folks, that about wraps it up for us. Thank you to the Buck for calling in. Thank you to you two J-Brones for calling in as well. Until next time, my name is Justin. This has been 1-900 Wrestling, reminding you to be dialing. Stupid idiots.
They call me Hara.
Is cooking.
And his name is John C.
Well, look at this, prima donna.
Thank God.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.